Thank you. Am I on? Can you hear me? Can you hear me all right? Yes? No? There we go. Thank you, Stephanie. Evening, everyone. You're very, very welcome to our youth service. Give me two texts to set up. Turn and say welcome to church to somebody beside you while I do that. Right, that's enough talking in church. You are extremely welcome to our youth service tonight, like Jack said. If it is your first time here, if you're a young person or an adult and you've never been here before, you are extremely welcome to church tonight. If you are a young person, I want to personally invite you to an opportunity to come down. We run a youth fellowship here in church. It's called Collective. And we run it downstairs every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. And so tonight we're just having like a chilled night. It's kind of like a space to just come spend some time with your friends, spend some time with the leaders and stuff. So if you don't have to rush away off and you're a young person, do feel free to call down. Or if you're an adult and you really want to call down and say hi to the young people, feel free to do that as well. This is a youth service. We do things slightly different, I suppose, in youth services. And so tonight I need some participation. I need some congregation participation. And so I'm going to give you permission just for the start, okay? Just for the start. I'm going to give you permission to shout out answers, okay? That might be a bit strange for you, but I'll give you permission to shout out answers. Please do not shout out random stuff throughout the rest of the sermon. Try and keep it just to the start. But feel free to shout out some answers. See, tonight I want to look a wee bit at actions, okay? I want to think a wee bit about our actions and what people can tell about us and who we are, what we can tell about others through their actions, because actions are a really powerful thing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some descriptions of some things that people have done. And if you can guess who that person is, I want you to shout out who you think that person is. So for example, if I said this person famously headbutted somebody in a World Cup final in their last ever match, you would say? Zidane, Zinedine Zidane. Famously headbutted somebody in a World Cup final, got himself sent off, France went on to lose the World Cup. If I said this person denied one of their closest friends 3 times, you would say? Peter, we're less confident about that one. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. If I said this person can run 100 meters in 9.58 seconds.
John Boyd.
I would quite like to see that. Usain Bolt can run the 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. If I said this person famously interrupted a Taylor Swift acceptance speech during an award ceremony. Kanye West, all the older people are like, who? Kanye West, he went up live on TV, took the mic off her and done his own speech. You can tell an awful lot about a person by their actions. Actions can be a really powerful thing. There's going to be so many famous people that'll be remembered by the things that they've done. And maybe to your family and to your friends and to the people that you know really close, they'll remember you for the things that you've done and how you've lived your life. You see, actions can be a really powerful thing. They can tell you a lot about a person, can't they? They can tell you a lot about somebody's interests and their hobbies, what they like and what they don't like. They can really tell you the heart of a person. Tonight I want to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 7, okay? Matthew chapter 7, 15 to 20. You can turn to it if you want. I want to look at where Jesus talks about being careful about false prophets, people who are supposed to guide you in the things of God. Be careful about what they say, because sometimes what they say isn't necessarily what they do. And so he warns, like, be careful of these people. You'll know them by their actions. You'll know who they are. So turn to the passage really quickly and we'll read it. Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions." You'll know people by their actions. Jesus here is coming kind of to the end of this famous sermon that he does called the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to his disciples and the people that are around him and listening. He's taught them loads of different things, ranging from how we shouldn't judge people to how we should love our enemies to how we should pray. And here he gives them this bit of a warning: be careful of false prophets. Prophets, people who are supposed to point you in the things of God, share the word of God. And he says, be careful of people who do that but are false, and you'll know them by their actions. Tonight I want to look at two things that come from this. This is something Alistair gave me. He's done something very dangerous. He gave me free rein for tonight. He said, just speak on whatever you feel led to speak on. And so this is something that I've been thinking about. And so I want to share a wee bit with you tonight. Two things. In this, I think there's a clear warning from Jesus. But there's also something in this that should challenge each of us who call ourselves Christians tonight. And so let's look at it a wee bit. Verses 15 to 16. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. At this time, there was a lot of like religious leaders and scribes, people whose role, I suppose, in duty was to teach people in the things of God, to point them in the direction of God, teach them in the scriptures and what God's word said. And yet these were people that Jesus, a lot of the time, had some major problems with. Because a lot of the time they were saying certain things and saying that people should do certain things, and yet their own life did not betray that. You wouldn't have known it if you looked at their life by their fruit. Jesus is saying to his disciples, like, I want you to be careful who you listen to. Because see, the religious leaders and the scribes, they were people that others would have looked to for advice and for guidance. They were people that were in a place of influence and would have had a major part to play in other people's lives. And so Jesus is saying, those who I suppose are supposed to be followers of me, followers of God, and point you in that direction, but their lives don't measure up to it. He gives this warning, look, be careful. Be careful what or who you're surrounding yourself with and what you're allowing to be an influence in your life. And for you as a young person, for you as an older person, I think this warning still stands today. Be careful. See, for a lot of you guys as young people, you're probably getting to a stage in your life where you're beginning to own your faith a wee bit more for yourself. Maybe you've been brought along to church and for a long time you've believed what you've believed, or you've done what you've been taught because it's what your parents have said or what your grandparents have said. But you slowly become, you get into the teenage years and you begin to look at it a wee bit more yourself. You begin to dig deep into it a wee bit more. You want to stand on your own two feet. This is what I believe and this is why I believe it, because it's what God says. And that's a really exciting time. That's a really good thing. You can't base your faith on anybody else. You need to discover for yourself in God's world, in God's word. But as much as that's an exciting time, it's also a very vulnerable time. Because you see, we're part of a world now where there are so many like videos that you can watch, so many articles and books that you can read, so many podcasts you can download and listen to from people from all various different places, from all various different places around the world with different ideas, different opinions of what God's word says. And so as you as a young Christian who want to grow, or for you as an adult who wants to grow and mature and flourish in your faith, as you do that, there's a lot of really good books and videos and people that you should listen to, but there's also some that are less so. And so as you grow or seek to grow and flourish in your faith, I think this warning stands. Be careful. Be careful who or what you're listening to, what you're surrounding yourself with, what you're allowing to influence your walk with God. Be careful. Be careful what you surround yourself with. Jesus gives this warning that we should pay attention to the things that are influencing our lives. You see, one of the things I think that we can be quick to do is just accept what somebody says. We can sometimes be really quick to accept what somebody at the front says, or what a book says, or what a video has said, and not really think about it. We just think because this person is a place of influence or authority, we just automatically assume what they've said is true. And for a lot of time that is the case, but there are times where that isn't the case. Don't be quick just to accept what somebody says. And that goes for me too. Okay, young people in church, don't always be so quick to accept what I say. See, the thing is, I am human. Anybody that stands at the front or writes a book or writes a song is human times we are flawed. We get things wrong, and we will get things wrong from time to time. And so how do you be careful? Well, you do this. You pick up this and you read it. You do a thing that I want to call Bible check it. There's nothing wrong with coming back. It's a really good thing to come back to the Bible and see what God says. See, what God has to say is so much more important than what I or anybody else has to say. And so, young people, you're not going to like me saying this, but you've some homework to do. Okay? I never understood homework. I never liked homework when I was in school. But as Christians, we have some homework to do. We have to get stuck into this for ourselves. We have to take what we hear on a Sunday and think about it and meditate it and apply it our lives. But get into this and read and see, right, is it in here? What's God actually saying in here? We need to Bible check it. We need to discover it and look at it and think about it for ourselves. You need to be careful what you surround and allow yourself to be surrounded by as you, as a young person, try to grow and flourish in your faith. Jesus says, be careful, because you see, it's so important what you listen to and what you watch, what you read. But not only that, there's a warning of be careful who you surround yourself with. Jesus painted this picture. He gave this imagery of a wolf among sheep. It doesn't take you to be a farmer to understand and realize a wolf does not belong among sheep. Putting a wolf in amongst a flock of sheep will not be a good time for the sheep. The sheep will not enjoy that. That will not be productive for the sheep. That will lead to destruction and cause an awful lot of havoc. And so if you don't remember anything from this talk, remember, don't put wolves among sheep. It will not be good. Likewise, we are sheep. That's how the Bible describes us, and we're following the Good Shepherd. And as we do that, guys, be careful who you surround yourself with. This is so important. I believe this is so important for you as young people. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to be productive to your walk with God, that are going to help you grow and flourish and mature as Christians. Who are the people that you're spending your time with? Because those people are so important. There's a motivational speaker, John Ronley, said this: we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. We are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. See, when I reflected on this and I thought about my life, this is probably true. For me, when I think about the people that surround me the most, the people that I'm closest to, I probably am, in many ways, the average of those people. We have a lot of the same interests, a lot of the same hobbies. They've probably developed a lot of my characteristics. I've probably developed a lot of their characteristics. I'll give you an example. I have a close friend. I'll not say who it is because they're here tonight. But I have a close friend in this room. Someone who I would spend a lot of time with, and it's not my wife, by the way. So I have a friend who I would spend a lot of time with. And they have, and a lot of you, especially a lot of you young people, you would get this straight away. They have this habit, right, that when you ask them a question, they go, huh? Okay? Some of you will get this and understand this, okay? They have this serious habit of just going, huh? And they do it that sharp, so they do. They don't say what or pardon, they go, huh? Me and Amy, we were on holidays over the summer in Salou, really nice place, really would advise you to go there, and we were on holidays, and one day Amy was asking me all these questions. I do not like to be asked loads of questions, but Amy was asking me all these questions, and she started to laugh whenever I was like answering these questions, and I was like, why are you laughing? Like, it wasn't even a funny topic that we were talking about, or it was a fairly serious conversation, but it turned out that every time she asked me something, I started to go, huh? I'd picked up this habit from my friend. I think it's true. We become the average of the five people we spend the most time with. And so here's the question, young people. Here's the question, church. Who are the people you spend the most time with? What influence and impact do they have on your life? Are they people that are going to help you grow and mature and flourish in your faith? Or are they people that are not going to help you grow and flourish? Paul warned this in Corinthians. He warned, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. And so who's your company? Who are the people that you hold close, the people that you listen to, that you seek advice of? Are the people that help you to produce good character? Are the people that you can see in their lives evidence of good fruit and people that you should be listening to? Or are the people that ultimately might potentially cause you damage? Who is your company? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we as Christians should never spend time with non-Christians. I'm not saying that at all. I have a lot of non-Christian friends, people who I am really, really close to. They're people who push me in my faith and challenge me in what I believe and why I believe it. It's being friends with them and spending time with them. For me as a Christian, it's an opportunity for me to share my faith with them and to live it out in front of them. And it's good for us. Jesus spent an awful lot of time with people who were non-Christians. He came to heal those that were sick, so you can see if those that were lost. The people in my life who I take and seek advice of. The people in my life who I expect to correct me and push me in my faith. Those are the people I hold close. You as a young Christian, you as a young person, you need to surround yourself with people who are going to inspire you and help you to mature. People who are going to share this with you. People who are going to pray with you. People who are going to support you. Those are people you need in your life. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking about your friendship circle and you're thinking, well, I don't really have people like that in my life. Maybe you've recently become a Christian and you're like, well, my friendship circle isn't probably what you're describing right now, Peter, and so what do I do? Well, this is what my advice would be to you. I became a Christian in around the age of 16. I said a prayer when I was a lot younger, but for me, my walk became real with God. My faith became real when I was about the age of 16, and my friendship circle was not great in any way, shape, or form. And so what I'd done was I got stuck in the church. I started going to church an awful lot more. I started to attend my youth group an awful lot more. I got stuck into Christian things, get stuck into things like SU. All of those are places, guys, where you're going to find people who are going to surround you and support you and encourage you on your walk with God. In church, you're going to find people who are older than you, people who can be mentors in your life, be spiritual guides in your life. In youth, you're going to find leaders who are going to be there to teach you and to help you grow and mature in your faith. That's where you're going to find good company, which is going to help you produce good fruit in your life. And so, guys, there's this bit of a warning. Be careful what you're surrounding yourself with. When you read an article, when you read a book, when you watch a video or whatever it might be, Bible check it. That's what we need to do. We have some homework to do. Get back into the Bible. Listen to what God has to say. Listen to Him an awful lot more than you listen to anybody else. But also, be careful as to who you surround yourself with. And so we have this warning of be careful. But there's another thing that I want to share really quickly with you from this. You see, there's not just a warning, I think there's a challenge. Or well, this passage really challenges me anyway. Twice in here, twice in Matthew 7, 15 to 20, Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruit. He's talking about false prophets. He's talking about people that are not good for you to follow and to take example from. And he says, you will know them, people, by how they live their lives. You'll know them by their actions. Actions are a powerful thing. You can tell a lot about a person by their actions and the things that they do. And so if you know somebody who isn't a genuine follower of God by their actions, surely you will know somebody who is a true follower of God by their actions. If you know somebody who isn't a true follower by the things that they do and how they live their life, then people should know us as Christians by how we live our life and the things that we do. It should be evident to them. We should reflect that in our lives each and every day. And so there's a challenge and there's a question that each of us, young or old, in church tonight need to ask ourselves. Do they know you by your fruit? Do the people in your school, the people in your homes, the people at work, your friends, do they know who you are in Christ? Do they know who you are as a follower of Jesus? Do they know who you are and the God that you follow, the God that you love? Can they see that in your life? Is it evident in your life and how you live it? That's a big question that all of us need to ask ourselves if we call ourselves a Christian tonight. Does my life reflect it to people? Do people see it in me? Do Do they see it in how I talk? Do they see it in the things that I do, my attitude towards things? Ultimately, do they see it in my character? Like, can they see God at work in and through my life? What does it mean to be a Christian? There's probably lots of answers that you could shout out. Only you're not allowed to shout out this part. There's probably lots of answers that you could shout out as to what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus. We follow the things of Jesus. We follow the example of Jesus. We follow what Jesus has taught us in here. Being a Christian means that you're born again. The old you has, the sinful you has been cast aside, and God has created a new you. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. There's an evident change in your life that happens. Being a Christian, the Bible describes us as this, folks. It says we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors of Jesus. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is somebody who represents a country or somebody very important. It's a very high up position. And so the Bible describes you and me as Christians, us as the church, you as young people in your schools or your homes or wherever you are. The Bible says that if you are a Christian, you are a representative of Jesus. Your role is not to represent somebody very important, but the most important person. That is your role. That is our responsibility. And so every single day, no matter where we are, no matter who we are around, no matter what we are doing, it's our job and our role to represent Jesus. And so the challenge in here, guys, is does our life do that? Does the people in your school, by how you approach school and your attitude to school and how you treat teachers and how you treat other people in school, does it show people that you're a follower of Jesus? Does it show them the love of Jesus? Does your attitude at home and how you treat your parents or your grandparents or your guardians, does it show that you love Jesus and you follow the things of Jesus? Does it show them that you're an ambassador of him? What about work? What about as you're down at the shop? And this is a tough one for me. What about when you're on the sports field and you're getting a wee bit too competitive? I'm very competitive, by the way. Does your life, every single day, are you striving to show people the things of God? Are you striving to show that he is at work in your life? That he has changed and transformed who you are, and that he can change and transform who they are? Do they know you by your fruit? Guys, there's a warning and there's a challenge. Sometimes we will get it wrong. Sometimes we won't be the best at showing people the love of God. Sometimes I'm not great, if I'm honest. Sometimes I do get it wrong. I'm not great at showing people God's love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control and all the things that it says in Galatians 5 are the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of God at work in your life. Sometimes we get that wrong. And so what do we do? How do we get it right? What we do, guys, is we just stay connected to God. We keep focusing on this. We keep focusing on him. We remain in him. Jesus in John 15:4 said this, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." If you want to produce fruit in your life, abide in me. That's what Jesus says. You can't produce fruit. You can't produce joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, all the things of God. You can't do that on your own. You can't do it in your own ability. You can only do it through God's Spirit at work in your life. You have to stay connected to the vine. You have to stay connected to Jesus. And so how do we do that? How do we stay connected to him? Well, we continue in every aspect of our life to trust him, to rely solely on him, that he is God, he is in control, he is sovereign, which is a fancy way of saying he's in control of all things. We trust in that, we rely on that. We don't try to do things in our own strength, we don't try to do things our way, we just give it over to him and we follow after him. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to learn this, to read this, to listen to what God has to say to you. The amazing thing about the Bible, guys, is every time you pick this up and you open it, God is speaking to you. People say, how do I hear the voice of God? This is the main way you do it. Every time you open this up and you read it, how amazing is it that God's actually speaking directly to you? If you're open and willing to hear him speak, He'll speak to you through this. He'll speak directly into your life. And so how do we abide in him? Young people, read this. Open it. Hear what God has to say. But go one step further. Do what it says. Luke 11 puts it like this. It says, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." You as a young person, you as an adult, you are blessed, even more blessed, when you hear the word of God and when you apply it in your life. Allow it to change your life. When you live it out and you show it in how you live your life and your actions. Guys, stay connected to the vine. You see, it's the vine that allows the branch, that enables the branch to produce fruit and do good things for the kingdom of God. If we want to do good things for the kingdom of God, if we want to produce fruit in our life, if you want to grow and mature and flourish as a Christian, if you, like what Alistair was talking about this morning, want to reach and show people out there the love of God and the goodness of his gospel and what he has done for them, then guys, you need to learn his word, you need to read his word, but you need to put it into practice. And so in this passage, guys, there's a warning, which is be careful. Be careful. Be careful what you as a Christian surround yourself with. Be careful what you read and what you watch and what you listen to. I think that's really important. Come back to the Bible. Get stuck into it for yourself. So often we like things kind of information straight away. We like things to be spoon-fed to us. But we have a bit of work to do ourselves. We got to study this for ourselves. That's what we have to do if we want to grow and flourish and mature as Christians. And so be careful what you surround yourself with. Be careful who you surround yourself with. Because the people that are closest to you will play a massive impact and have a massive influence on your life. And so surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with people that are going to encourage you and build you up. People who are going to help you to produce good character and are not going to corrupt your character. Surround yourself with good people. And then, guys, there's a challenge. Do they know you by your fruit? Can people see Jesus at work in your life? Do you allow them to see Jesus at work in your life? Can they see it by what you say and what you do? By who you are? Jesus in John 15 goes on 4 verses later and he says this. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. When you produce much fruit, when you show people the love of God, when you show people his peace and his joy and his kindness, his faithfulness, when you live out what's in here, when you produce much fruit, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what it means to be a true disciple. Guys, see, when you do that in your school, when you do that in your homes, when you make this your focus, wanting to show people who God is, when you do that, people will begin to see that there's something different about you. And people are curious. Well, people in Northern Ireland, they're very curious anyway. People are curious. Every time my phone goes off, Amy straight away asks, "Who's that? Who's texting you?" People want to know answers to things. And so when people see that there's something different about you, when you don't react the things the way maybe people and other people would react, when you have a different attitude, the right attitude, when you treat people in a good way all the time, when you're seeking to put others before yourself, when you live out your faith to people, they notice. Do you know, when you become a Christian or when you're a Christian, especially in school, people will watch your every move. They will watch everything that you do, probably mainly waiting for you to slip up. But that's a great opportunity for you to get it right. And when you do that, they will ask, what is it that's different? What is it that's different about that person? What is it that's different about them? And that opens up, God opens up a great opportunity for you, whether you're in school or work or wherever you are, a great opportunity for you to do the one thing he has called us to do, which is to share our faith. Share what he's done in our lives. You want to know what God's will is for your life tonight and tomorrow and this week? It's to go make disciples. Go tell others about him and what he's done in your life and what he can do in their life. A friend tonight sent me a message about half an hour before I came to church. They sent me this. They said, send me a verse. Psalm 89 verse 1. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. My mouth will make known your faithfulness to all generations. And then they said this. They said, point us to Jesus tonight, mate. That's our goal. Every single waking moment of our lives. If you call yourself a Christian, what are you supposed to do? Point people towards Jesus. Sing, shout, do whatever you can to tell people and show people what he has done in your life. The warning is this, be careful of what you surround yourself with and what influences your life. But the challenge is this, go and be a positive influence for Jesus in other people's lives. Go and do everything that you can to, how Alistair put it this morning, to bring them home. That's our goal, that's our focus. To tell other people about him. Maybe you're not a Christian tonight. Maybe all that I've been saying makes very little sense to you whatsoever. Well, I think in this there's still a warning for those of you who maybe aren't Christians. I think there's a warning in here. There's less maybe of a challenge and more of an invite for you tonight. The warning is this. In this passage in Matthew 7 and in John 15, it talks about how the branch that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down, it's chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's no longer connected to the vine. It's on its own and it withers and it dies. It's thrown into the fire. I think what Jesus is talking about here when he says that is the reality is that for us that aren't Christians, when we are not connected to God, when we haven't put our trust and our faith in him, we're cut off from him. And the harsh reality, and it's an awful reality, but I 100% believe it to be a reality, is that when we are cut off from God, our destination is a place that Jesus talked an awful lot about, a place called hell, a place that he died on a cross and took all our sin and our shame so that none of us would have to go there. For you, if you're not a Christian, that's a reality for you tonight. That's a reality. But the great thing is, there's a warning about that, but there's also an invite. Jesus says, look, come and follow me. That doesn't have to be your destination. Your destination can be with me and the Father forever in glory, forever in heaven. And all you've got to do is put your trust in me. All you've got to do is come and say sorry. All of us make mistakes. All of us get things wrong. All of us need to come to God and say, do you know what, God, I'm sorry. I sin, I mess up, and I get things wrong. I'm sorry for that. I want you to come and change my life. There's an invitation for you to come. I remember my dad, who talk about people who are inspirational and encourage you a lot. My dad is one of the most inspirational Christians in my life. He's one of those people that I'm very close to and seek advice and stuff from. But my dad, I remember him sharing his testimony once, and he talked about a time when a friend of my granddad's, one of my granddad's best friends was my dad's Sunday school teacher, and he used to give my dad a lift to Sunday school and back. And there was one day where they almost crashed the car. Do you ever have those moments of where like you almost crash and then you just kind of like stop and your like heart is like thumping and you just can't really move? They had one of these moments. My granddad's friend Robert turned to my dad, and my dad can remember it as clear as day. He turned to him and he said, Neil. That's my dad. He said, Neil, if we had a crash, then our time on earth was done here tonight. Where would you be? My dad wasn't a Christian at this point. And that played on his mind something serious. Because he realized, it brought him to a place to realize, where I would be cut off from God. I wouldn't be with God for all of eternity. And so maybe that's a question you need to think about tonight. Maybe that's a question that you need to answer tonight. Our time on earth, you're not guaranteed to the end of my sentence right now. None of us know what the future holds or what tomorrow brings. And so if your time finished, where would you be? Because there's this invitation to be with God. This invitation to put your trust in him. to rely on him. In him, find everything that you need. Find what it means to truly live. So maybe you need to think about that tonight. There's maybe a lot for us to think about tonight. So I'm going to invite the band, the guys, to come back up. We in church, we do ministry piece most Sundays. And maybe, for some of us, it maybe just becomes like another song that is played, and so we sit there during that song and don't pay massive attention. But we do these ministry songs because they're a chance for us to reflect and to respond, not just to sit and to listen. And so tonight, as the band, they play a song. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes, okay? We close our eyes when we pray. Sometimes I close my eyes during worship, and I do that because I want to block out everything else. For me, prayer and worship is a time where I just want to be fully focused on God and on God alone. And so I close my eyes just to block everything else and just to focus on him. And so during this song, I want you to close your eyes. And for you, if you're not a Christian tonight, and maybe you've been sitting there and you know deep down that you need to ask God for forgiveness. Deep down, you know the answer to that question of where would you be tonight. The answer to that is not a good place. And so this is a time and a chance and an opportunity. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Tonight is an opportunity. You might not get another one. This is an opportunity for you to respond to God. This is an opportunity for you in your heart, where you're sitting, in your heart. That's where it matters. It's an opportunity for you to ask his forgiveness and ask him to come in and change your life. Trust me, doing that will be the greatest thing that you've ever done. And so tonight's an opportunity to do that. Maybe you are a Christian and maybe tonight you realize, wow, my life maybe isn't reflecting Jesus the way that it should be. Well, as this song plays, pray, ask him for forgiveness for that. And from now, start from there. I read a quote recently and it said this, don't just talk, act. Don't say, show, don't promise, do. Don't just say that you're going to write, God, I'm going to start to show you to others as best I can. Don't just promise it, guys, go and do it. And so this is a time maybe for you to start that and to bring that to God. And maybe you don't fall into either of those categories. That's what I want to encourage you to do. We are a church family. A family support each other. And so I want to encourage you to where you're at to close your eyes and just pray for the people that are around you. Pray for the people that maybe aren't even here. And like Alistair was sharing this morning, you know need Jesus in their life. Let's pray for them. And so I guess what I'm asking is, guys, don't just sit here and let this time and this song pass. If you need to respond, respond. If you need to ask for forgiveness, ask for that forgiveness. If you need to pray for the people that are around you, then pray for them. There's going to be some guys that are, during this song, we've guys that are involved in prayer ministry in the church. They're going to be up on this side, up in the kind of like the bleachers, up out of the way a wee bit. Maybe during it you really just want to talk to somebody. Maybe during the song or the last number of songs you really just want to pray with somebody. These guys are going to be up there. They're going to be praying for you. But if you'd love them to pray with you, guys, take a bold step. Get up and go up and get prayer. Ask them to pray for you. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. They should have their eyes closed, so you shouldn't need to worry about what everybody else is doing. Go and do that. There's going to be people of various different ages, ranging from young people right up to some older people. And so if you feel more comfortable getting prayed for by somebody your own age or somebody very similar to you, then they're going to be up there as well. Guys, don't waste this opportunity.